Welcome to Dentists, Implants, and Worms, helping you navigate the world of dentistry one vodka soda at a time. As always, from day one, this episode is brought to you by Boyd's Wine and Spirits on Mount Rushmore Road in Rapid City, South Dakota. The finest selection of bourbon and wine for miles around with cold beer, a growler station, and rock bottom prices. Now, here are your co-hosts, Drs. Justin Moody and Randy Huska.
All right, welcome to another episode of Dentists, Implants, and Worms. We are wrapping up Voices of Dentistry. You see people tearing things down, but we are not. We're still in the podcast groove, and we want to thank our loyal sponsor of 4 years, Boyd's Wine and Spirits, Mount Rushmore Road. There's Randy Huska. Randy Huska. Oh, Randy. Pull up a chair.
Right. You're going to be outnumbered.
What's up?
There's three Serikers with you. Do you?
Randy doesn't like his, so it's
oh,
always,
Randy
it's all good.
Loves his Serik.
Randy.
Are you sweating?
Randy okay? Doesn't like Serik, so.
That is not true.
I wonder how many times I.
No, I don't like iPhones.
He actually has a flip phone. It's actually maybe before a flip phone? What's that called?
The Motorola Slide.
All right, on the podcast, I got my trusty co-host, Randy Huska.
Checking in.
Yes,
hey.
Yes, sitting to the right of me, the beautiful Chris Odland.
Oh, hey.
And Pete Stover's here from the great state of Oklahoma.
I guess we're not beautiful. That would have been creepy anyway.
Uh-oh. What did I do?
Now we have to start over?
No, I don't think so. Oh, there we go. Yep. Everybody here, everybody?
Yeah,
perfect. All right. You are from Elk City, Oklahoma. Tell us where Elk City is.
So if you draw a line on I-40 from Oklahoma City to Amarillo, we're about halfway. So we're kind of the last stop before nothing. Once you pass Elk City, that's it. We did just get a Starbucks, literally opened in January. So we are legit.
That is a legit. That's a legit stop on I-40. You know, there's towns south of you that has some really shitty dentists in them. But I know that they all have to go up to Elk City from, you know. Now, I'm sure that you're well aware of the rattlesnake roundup capital of the entire world.
Oh yeah, Mangum, Oklahoma. I grew up my whole life going to that janky little fair. I'm surprised the carnival didn't fall apart. But you did get to see rattlesnakes, and we actually even went on some of the hunts out there and saw where they live. And obviously growing up down there, I've ran into rattlesnakes many a time. So, yeah.
Yeah. This podcast is going to be especially offensive to Dr. Dustin Lively, who practices in Mangum, home of the rattlesnake roundup. So
never been there.
Yeah, well, I went once in dental school, and I was in dental school for 4 years, and, like, you should find, like, I went once.
All right.
We all loaded up the worm. Well, it was one of them that Landers went to the rattlesnake roundup. And, you can watch them make rattlesnake boots, and you can eat rattlesnake, and you can watch them play with the rattlesnakes and stuff.
I really feel like I've missed out.
Oh, yeah. It's a bucket list kind of thing. You need to get down there.
How do they round up the rattlesnakes? They, like, dogs or guns?
Well,
or?
No. They'll
Here, boy.
Now, snake handlers, they go out. Oh, the dog came. They'll go out into the country out west of Mangum, and they know where they typically hide, stuff like that. And they'll use their little sticks and gather them, put them in cages, and then they haul them in and put them in some pits. And then there's usually under a tent. There's also, they'll leave about 50 of them out, but they're wearing their little snake boots. And they'll walk through there, and they're striking at them, and they're pointing out their fangs and their diamonds and how many rattles they have and stuff like that. So, yeah.
It's not all of Oklahoma is as special as Mangum.
No, that's special.
This is like a dare to, like, walk through the rattlesnake pit?
No. They don't let anybody. They have handlers in there doing that. But, yeah, I call Greer County, it's kind of the Twilight Zone. It really is.
Greer County, I forgot about
Greer County. Sounds bucket
list. It's a moment of The Shining, yeah, for sure.
I tell everybody, run away. I don't know why Dustin did, and I was like, you can't stay around there. It's a Twilight Zone.
Yeah. So also went, also graduate of OUOH, what are we, OUCOD. OUCOD, yeah, that was it.
Yeah, 2002, I was kind of there at the end of the Schillingberg era. So I did my time, had a good time. I did the IHS thing for 3 years, which was really cool. Got to fly out to Gallup, New Mexico, and spend a week with an oral surgeon taking out horizontal impactions. That's kind of where I got really started on the surgery and implants. And so, perfect. But it was a good experience. Kind of like we were talking about the Air Force thing. I got out of dental school with $30,000 in debt. So that's a pretty good start. You know?
Yeah, you can get that paid back.
I think I can handle that one.
Yeah, yeah. So what kind of practice do you have there in Elk City?
So I just did a startup. I did my 3 years in the Indian Health Service, did a startup from the ground up, and just a bread and butter. We started out with a bunch of PPOs, and eventually as we figured out that we didn't need to, we started dropping those. And then as I got into implants, you know, that really kind of started driving my practice. And, you know, technology, 3D printing, I kind of became the implant guy out in that area. And we just kind of built it up. Now I'm busier than a one-legged dentist or whatever. Howard Fran had a weird saying.
Oh, yeah.
One-legged
paper hanger.
One-armed?
No, one-armed.
Oh, no, that's a one-armed paper hanger, yeah.
One-eyed, right. One-horned, one butt.
Yeah, what the
She has heard more like... So I think in, you've heard of like it's raining so hard, it's like a cow...
Pissing on a hard rock.
Flat rock, excuse me.
Yeah. You hadn't heard that.
You've never heard that?
Yeah, no. We don't say those things in the Northwest. That would be offensive to the cows.
We eat them. It's okay.
Every one of my analogies and with my patients is farm related. Pulling a tooth is pulling a fence post, you know? Every one of them.
Yeah, they get it.
I talk about retreading tires, and young people look at me like, huh? Like, oh, you didn't own a tractor. You can only retread a tire so many times, and then it's time to do something else.
They wouldn't know retread.
No.
How many people are in Elk City?
It's a population of about 10,000, and the crazy thing is, and there's probably 10 dentists there, but statistically, over half of my patients don't live in Elk City. Like I said, we're kind of that last town before nothing. So we draw all the way out into the panhandle of Texas. We've got patients from Kansas. So it's kind of crazy.
I mean, I'm sure Oklahoma's like Nebraska. There's maybe even some counties that don't even have a dentist.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I would guess once you pass Elk City, there's probably only a handful of dentists from there to Amarillo.
Oh, I bet so.
Yeah, and that's it because it's kind of nothing.
So having services like same-day dentistry where you had CAD-CAM and the CEREC was just a game-changer
for you? Yeah, it's huge because, I mean, even mail, you know, mail takes longer to get there because it has to go through Oklahoma City. So, and there's no specialist nearby. So I had to learn to be, you know, do all the procedures, get pretty handy at everything. But, very much not relying on a lab and mailing and being able to do same-day crowns and everything. Yeah, that was a game-changer.
You got to be everything to everybody.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I feel like I went through my own residency without a teacher. So I had to YouTube it. That's how I learned all the printing guides and all
hell
that.
Yeah.
YouTube. Baron Gruder, Corey Glenn, you know, just out. My wife thought I was crazy. I was like,
Facebook, podcast, YouTube.
She doesn't anymore?
Less, because great question. I can actually show her, like, honey, I placed two implants this morning in 15 minutes. We made some money.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, okay. All those hours of watching YouTube, you're welcome.
How nice is it that you can do an immediate extraction implant in less time than a pedo profi?
Oh, gosh,
that's
yes.
Just awesome.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, that's one of my favorite things to do. You know,
pedo profis?
Yes. I clear my schedule. I've got a crying three-year-old, and it's got my name on it.
Well, there you go.
Clear my schedule, yes. Yeah, I cleared my schedule of all kids when I limited my practice to implants. Like, I have this picture of my waiting room in my old office, and it's like just – basically like four really nice overstuffed chairs and a TV and like some magazines. And I always ask people, I say, what's missing from this that's so rewarding? And like nobody knows. And I said, the Lego table. You know, like there's no like no kids.
Yeah.
So
peace and quiet.
Yeah. You know, I will admit this on air. I was always a shine office and you know, they didn't, well, I was in my little town in Nebraska. They didn't sell CEREC. So, matter of fact, you know, eventually they kind of asked me to like speak for them. And then I bought the competitive system, you know, the Plan Mecca, the E4D. And Never really used it other than when we got in, when I started a commercial laboratory, we milled Emax on it because the mill was really good.
Right.
But I look back now, which this office just recently got a prime scan and a prime mill. This month. And my patients come from Wyoming, South Dakota, Nebraska, and I live in that far northwest corner. So the office is, like, I bet the average drive is 2 hours one way to the office, and I'm sure you have lots of patients to do the same thing.
Right.
I can't believe that I didn't provide that kind of same-day dentistry. Like,
holy Jesus.
I know.
And we have it on the air. Yeah. I'm so happy right now.
Were you wrong?
I feel like I'm his.
Were you wrong?
No, I'm not going there.
He was late.
Misinformed.
Yeah. Yeah, I was misinformed. I wasn't wrong.
And what's crazy is I've been doing it, like you, since 2006. Rarely do my patients, are they surprised by it anymore. It's just normal for them. Yeah. And if they move, and I've had some move, and they come back, and they're like, they do crowns some weird old way where you wear this temporary and all this stuff. And
so my mill went down for whatever, 2 weeks while I waited to get a new one. I didn't get a prime mill. This was before it came out. But they delayed their crowns. They wouldn't, I'll just do it when you get that fixed.
Well, right. And even your team members are like, what, you want me to make a temporary?
Oh, yeah. They wouldn't know
they
how.
They want to quit.
I'd have to do it, probably.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting in a couple months.
I couldn't even mill one.
It'll be interesting in a couple months to see what Megan's response and what the patient's response is because, like, for 25 years, like, it's just been the way it's always been.
Right.
You know, so we'll see, you know. Maybe we'll have to take it out because they won't like it. So.
Doubtful. Yeah. No, she's excited. Your team's excited over there.
Yeah, and your staff likes it too. I don't know about you. My staff doesn't want to go mop the bathroom. They want to go polish and fire the crown and seat it, and then I walk in and just drop it in, and that's a great feeling of accomplishment. And they do that for my 3D printing too. I design guides for my own system and the Blue Sky Bio, and I hit the button and. They bring it to me when it's done, and they love that. They kind of take ownership. They know when something's not right. Mm-hmm. They literally can look at the guy and go, hey, that doesn't look right.
A little distorted, like, or whatever, yeah. Not full.
I'm like, yeah, you go, girl. You just saved me a bad appointment.
Printing's fun. What are you printing these days? Are you printing more than just guides? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll print emergency denture duplicate. One of the biggest things and the easiest things to do that I do a lot of, Grandma Betty needs a new denture. We'll throw that thing on there and scan it, print a duplicate. So at the next visit, we've got a custom tray, teeth, everything, and you can make your final off of that, whether you want to scan it and mill it or what. I mean, that saves 2-3 visits. I do that all the time. Love that. I do my own Invisalign or whatever you want to call it.
Aligners.
I print aligners.
Night guards?
I tried. Now, the materials have gotten better.
Yeah.
The first material that came out sucked. It was brittle. It would break. It wasn't worth my headache.
I use the Keystone Soft.
That's what I use.
But I'm going to switch to the Sprint Race Soft as soon as I run out.
Yeah. I was kind of waiting for all that to sort itself out. But my
patients love them.
I like the workflow, and it definitely makes sense. But I kind of got burned
by it. $25 design, you know.
Yeah.
And just come back. And
they have AI. They're going to design them in minutes. And so you could literally scan, and the end of a hygiene appointment, you could deliver it. Like, that is cool.
That's nuts.
And then especially for your patients who have to drive so far.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal.
Being able to turn around in one visit.
Yeah. Or they can go have lunch and come back, and it's ready. Pick it up.
Yeah. And the same thing's true. Like, I know that when I was starting, that's a Sprintway didn't have the design service there. But I could print. So the mayor broke number 9. I'd be like, scan him, let's get this done, and then whether I designed a Pilot Plus guide or a whatever fully guided with Blue Sky Bio, if I had just a little time to sit down, I can design the temp, I could have all of it ready, and then that afternoon, tooth out, implant in, temp on, all in one visit. Yeah, just go have lunch, and can you kill a couple hours and come back at the end of the day? I mean, 20 years ago when I started this, can you imagine if someone told you we were going to do that? That's nuts.
No. It's like science fiction, but it's so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
And then we get used to it, and then someone's like, wow. You're like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Not everybody's doing that.
Or if you have a technology failure, it's like, I'd rather just close down my practice than not have a mill for 2 weeks. I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah.
That's why I have 4 of them.
Yeah, be like, I don't know where the hell I'd put 4 of them.
When I first went up there, you know, I was still a bit skeptical. all four of those mills run all day long, like all day long. And like, if there's not a time, there's like the noise in the mill, I notice it.
To
like
eerie.
Yeah, and I'll walk down the hall to make sure it's not red.
Yes.
I'm so proud. You know what that means. Red is bad.
Do you ever have patients come wandering around and say, hey, it's red. It says there's something's there's wrong.
Air, yeah. My tooth is wrong.
Crown.
Fix
My
it.
Crown is broken.
Yeah. I said, I'm on it. Jesus, I'll change the water.
Calm down.
Yeah, the biggest tip I ever got in a CE course that I used today is I love to have the patients hit manufacture. They hit the start button, whether it's on the mill or on the software. Because then they take ownership for it. So if it's like, if the color's off a little bit, they don't care because they made it.
I'm going to take that partial.
It's your fault.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never thought about that.
Oh, it's awesome. They love it. They love to say it. And that's like great on social media because they're like, I made my own crown today. It's so awesome.
Yeah, that's
then you let them polish it and stain it.
I should.
The edge goes on for 20 seconds.
On a number two, how I get, they're not going to fuck that up.
That'd be great. That's my next thing I'm going to have to do.
There you go.
I think it'd be a cool, like if you had a Miss Mill in zirconia, let them smash it, and then let them see the final and go, this technology, check this out.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
God, I love that katana. Jesus.
Yeah.
It is. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I like it. We just did the day that my prime mill came in, literally, so that it came in on a Wednesday, and that Friday we did a 10-unit all, this guy had bruxed his teeth down, there was nothing there. And we did a bridge. So we did from 6 around to 13, 3 units being a bridge, and then there's 4 lower incisors, you know, because we had to work within the space. We weren't opening all the way up. But the guy's a trucker. He had money, didn't care about that, but he wanted to be sedated. He wanted it done. And so we rolled in there, and so I charged roughly $1,000 a unit. He paid cash, done in a day. That's a good day. And so I just booked him on a Friday when I didn't have to go do hygiene checks and all that. And I just got to sit down and go to town. I had two of my girls come in that are very familiar with the, you know, they were doing the lab stuff for me. That's fun. I mean, and he loved it. The patient was like, I don't have to jack with this. I wake up, my teeth are done. You know, that's a world of opportunity that, you know, the ROI is there. You just got to be willing to use it.
Well, especially with sedation. So you're doing your own sedation?
Yeah, just conscious sedation. So, yeah.
Awesome. Where do you train?
Actually, in Oklahoma, you don't have to train. That's what
you don't in South Dakota.
Yeah, but I went ahead. I went down to Texas and took their – I just wanted to feel safer. You know, I don't kill anybody, right? I mean,
I
just because you can.
I do. So, but there's just a very few.
Okay.
Okay, Dexter.
Yeah, good point.
You know what's funny about that is that Oklahoma doesn't make you have any extra training for that, yet – your hygienist can't numb someone.
No, they can numb, but we don't have expanded functions. Oklahoma does allow.
Texas doesn't allow.
Correct.
Texas doesn't allow the assistants to numb anymore.
Right. And so, which is crazy. So, but yeah, they'll let you kill somebody. Yeah. They won't let you kill kids. They did it. They made it where you can't see kids. But yeah, I wish I would kill to have expanded function. But the funny thing is with Sarek and all that, they're kind of expanded function. I hand things over to them and let them go.
Probably as expanded as you need.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean,
we don't. South Dakota doesn't have it.
Yeah.
I mean, in Nebraska, like, I always let mine do, more than they legally could. But, like, if you just followed the letter of the law.
On air.
Like, no, I mean, if you followed the letter of the law of Nebraska, like, really the only thing they allow them to do is suck spit.
Yeah.
It sucks. It's horrible. Like, they don't.
No pun intended, it sucks.
But
I'm so funny.
I know, you're so funny.
Anyways, are you sweating? Anyway. Should we talk about implants?
We're going to talk about how do you restore your implants with the Sarek?
Yeah, absolutely.
True abutment way?
Primarily true abutment. I was at the Sarek World when they released the EMAX protocol, and I've used it ever since, and I've had zero problems with it. And I've got some that have been in the mouth on Bruxers for 10 years now.
Can we close that?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it's chilling. But, yeah, if you give those things adequate thickness, they are great. And they're aesthetic. They're fantastic. Uh-oh. We got
we're trying to kill off Randy.
Oh, gosh.
I'll get attacked.
Blocks at the hole. Yeah.
And they just released, if you want to use the zirconia on a tie base, that's out. I haven't messed with it. It's kind of like if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
So I don't know I'm in a hurry to try that.
The zirconia's not as pretty, I think. So I don't use it either. I use the EMAX mostly.
Just stick with EMAX.
Yeah. And I like to do a lot of screw retain restorations. I don't split mine. Just why mill two things if you can mill one? Why?
And why mess with cement? Yeah, I do. I screw retain. terrain, and that's why I like guided, because it, you know, if the angle's off a tad, you just lost your screw retain option.
Yep.
And so doing that guided, make sure they're all parallel, and I always tell people when we're teaching, you almost always know that this is too.
Gustano. Gustano. See?
So always
Gustano.
Just keep going. Just ignore.
Okay, I got enough. So, you know, when I design cases, I always tell people parallel it to the mesial tooth, because you know the distal one is drifted. So instead of making a couple crappy contacts, make good contact, contour that tooth behind it so it has a good contact. Then you can go screw retain.
Even if you're parallel to the contact points, you know, implant restorations, you almost always have to adjust the contacts, because you want a broad, flat contact so that you don't have the rotational forces. So
Schillingberg just rolled over in his grave. You know that, right?
No.
You don't touch that. You touch that neighboring tooth, he'll dock you 20 points. How dare you?
Been there, done that.
Okay, yeah. No, but I'm with you. I contour contacts all
the time. I don't think I've done an impression without touching the adjacent teeth, because, you know, even guided wise, that doesn't guarantee you you're perfectly parallel. So, like, you know, I always put my driver back into the implant and look at it, and then I will, as it's holding there, I'll adjust my contracts to have that perfect, because that's when you have the no touch drop ins, is when if it's a little like that, like by the time you contact it and it goes down, then it's open.
Yeah.
You know, then you're doing a filling on the tooth to bring it back over, and then like,
right, yeah.
Or if it's so much that you got to make a custom abutment and a.
Not the end of the world, but yeah, you want those drop ins. You want those drop ins. Those make.
But
happy
if you only
dentists.
Have 1 mil, like being the end of the world, it could be the difference between doing it same day and the next day
and having to bring them back. Yeah,
you know, by having to do the abutment and the crown. Yeah,
for sure.
So I always say that I love guided for that reason. That like 99% of my crowns are screw retained. But there was one day my guide didn't fit. Moody just happened to be there. And so I put on my big girl panties and I did an unguided implant surgery, which I was like having heart palpitations. I was so nervous. And I did the classic. I was doing tooth number 30 and I like fulcrumed on 29 and my angle was off a little bit. And I scan all of my implants. And have I seen worse? Yes. Have I restored worse? Yes. But I had a complete meltdown. And I don't think Moody's ever witnessed me have a meltdown. He's like, this implant's fine. It's fine. And I was like, don't tell any woman anything is fine.
I learned
to
that.
Split this
relax.
Crowd.
Yeah. Just relax.
Just relax. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, yeah. You just make a custom abutment. It's not a big deal.
So she lost her mind. She's like, could you just like sew this thing up for me?
I have 5 hygienists coming in saying, I need hygiene. I need hygiene. And I'm losing my mind. Go ahead.
So I sat down and I backed the implant out. And I changed my angulation, and I dropped the implant perfectly parallel in there, like this beautiful X-ray. Never told her. Just put the healing abutment on, sewed the thing back up, let the patient left. She's writing her notes up, and she looks at the chart, and she's like, and she hits me.
You fixed it.
And he's like, she's mad at me because I fixed it.
I was expecting a thank you.
My screw retain crown was really easy after that.
Funny how that works.
He did it in the amount of time I did hygiene check, where it took me the full appointment, of course. But that's what happens with reps.
That's what happens with reps. That's just like when you're scanning for those crowns. God, you get a patient numb in this room, you go in that room, take out the healing abutment, drop in the true scan, healing abutment back in. The other one's not quite numb yet. You know, that's how fast those are.
That was too quick.
Yeah.
So I assume you cone beam?
Yeah.
Yep, cone beam. I tell you, people ask, why do I like guided surgery? I'm like, well, I did it freehand for I don't know how long. And then I got a cone beam and got to see some of my work in 3D and went. And they've been in the mouth 7 years, but I'm going, I will never stick an implant that close to a nerve again. I look in there and go, I was a half a millimeter away from a lawsuit.
You was a lucky son of a bitch.
I was. I was brave, too. When I was young, like I said, I was my own GPR
were.
Teacher.
That's either brave or stupid. Yeah, there's a mix. There's a mix.
So I go back and look at that stuff. I'm like, why would I ever want to even flirt with that again? I want that cone beam, which already gives you the information. But more than that, I want to guide it. I want to, again, 15-minute close. I placed one left-handed the other day. And I'm not
left-handed. Just to say you could?
No, because it just couldn't get my fat butt around there and didn't want to make everybody move. So I just grabbed it left-handed and
goes right in.
Yeah, it's the guy, hold the guy down. It doesn't matter what hand you're pushing the drill with. And so, yeah, I can say I did a left-handed implant.
That's pretty cool. So. We checked out some left-handed implants with the Yomi robot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was actually really interesting.
That dude in Oklahoma was one of the first ones to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to get one here.
You know, they will succumb to my...
he keeps saying.
I know. I was like, hey, like, if you want to sell these, like, you should park one at the Institute, and then, you know, 400 people a year will see it, and...
They didn't bite yet.
It's just, you know, it's hard because you're paying per site. I think that's the biggest holdback. It's not the technology.
Well, it's also
cool.
The $200,000 price tag.
Well, in the Steric world, that's cheap.
I do a lot more Cerics than I do implants, yeah. So you better be dropping a lot of screws to pay for that.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. True that.
But yeah. It is, I mean, to think of where things are going in our future, like, if we're going to sit down in 5 more years, who knows?
That robot will be worth it for me when they have a better full arch workflow. So when I can edentulate someone, alveoloplasty, and that thing, I can go in and like I can put them in perfectly parallel in the right spots for my pre-planned prosthetic, then that robot is like, then it's a no-brainer.
Cha-ching at that
point. Yeah, because then it's 4 cases, and you can pay for it in full 4 cases. Yeah. Like, that's a big difference. Paying for that one implant at a time. But if you can use that thing to do the, you know, all on sixes and whatever, like, now you're talking about a generator.
Yeah, and turning your conversions into no time versus
now 2 hours. Now you have a 3D printed PMMA that on the like
it's
the Sprint Ray Onyx
that
all you're doing is converting that look. No brainer.
And it'll probably get there.
Yeah.
It will get there. Like, it's interesting because every time the new technology comes out, you're kind of like, wow, you know, Yeah, they'll never be able to do that. Well, no, they probably will. Yeah. You know, if it's really difficult, you may not want to pay for it when it gets there, but it will. It will. So
what did you think of VOD? Is this your first VOD?
This is my first time. So yeah, it was. It's definitely, and they said it would not. It'd be very different than most courses you go to, and it was. It's very different. You know, you kind of get the feeling some people, like they said, spoke their mind, because I know when the American Dental Association sponsors your deal, you've probably got a list of don't go here and don't go here. So it's kind of cool to see people.
It's pretty wide open.
to just say what they want to. So, yeah, definitely cool. And I'll be honest, I just got really into following dental podcasts, probably in the last year and a half. So I'm relatively new. So it's kind of cool to see all these people that, you know, I've listened to from time to time.
Right.
The funny thing, everybody's voice sounds so much lower and slower because I listen to it on like 1.5 because I got stuff to do. So everybody has a real high-pitched voice and they talk real fast, and then we get here and talk to them. I'm like, you don't sound the same. So, but no, it was a cool meeting. Yeah, definitely. And I think it's cool for you guys. Y'all get to create a bunch of content. And yeah, because I'm sure it takes a lot of work to do this over and over remotely and stuff like that.
When you notice the talks are not like an ADA talk.
No.
You know, you get F-bombs. You get a lot of shit. And but it's very real. Everyone checks their ego at the door.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it's all very real. It's all very real. Well, I expect you to come back with Dustin next year.
I was trying to drag him out here. I forget. I think they just started building and moving or something. I was trying to drag him out
here. I don't know how many more homes he needs to build or move or to. Like,
he's got a problem.
He does have a problem. And yeah. And I promise you this won't be the last one.
If he would stop, he could buy more airplanes. That's the other thing. He's always like, house, airplane, what am I going to buy? I'm like, golly. Thankfully, he's not desperate enough for money to place his own implants, because he sends those to me, and I'm very thankful. Thanks, Dustin.
You know, I did one.
Shout out.
I went down there and did one on Mickey, and it failed.
Friends and family, they always go the worst, right?
It was interesting. He was, and I wouldn't do it again, but he was missing one lower incisor, and there's not enough room to replace one incisor. And I put a 3-0 in there, and it just, like, I violated biology. I thinned it out too much. I did all the things, and, you know, like, it failed. And I said, just make him the bridge, you know, because now if you lose two adjacent ones, now I've got width and stuff. I'll put one
minis,
in.
Minis.
Yeah, I know it. Get me a bow tie, and I'll start placing the minis. So,
complications really do exist?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I created one in my lifetime. So.
just that one.
You definitely created more complications
and I can promise you that goddamn Mickey fucking gives me the shit every damn time. So, but yeah, I've known, for 29 years, I've known Dustin. He was my clinic partner from day one. And, his family and his brother and the Toonie. And, like, it's just good people.
Good people. And that's what, my God. I have my pastor that moved here from Georgia. And he's like, I never thought I would end up in Elk City, Oklahoma. He's like, when I got here, his phrase was, it's a good place to be from. And we're like, come on, dude, it ain't that bad. Now that he's been here 10, 15 years, you see, it's just salt of the earth. I mean, it's just, it's nice. It's a nice pace of life. And it's you just good people.
There is no difference in people from South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, that panhandle of Texas. Like it. The people are all the same. Like someone's got a flat tire. Someone's got to stop and help you.
Yeah.
Like it's all the same.
And we do this weird thing when you meet someone on the road, you wave.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know them, it's creepy.
When I leave my neighborhood, people out walking their dog and stuff like that, I wave at all of them, and some of them are kind of like,
"How dare you?"
And then they'll be like. I don't know.
In our town, you only wave if you have the same car.
Jeep.
Yeah, Jeep. Jeeps are yes. If you own a Jeep, you
Jeeps
wave.
Jeeps and Harleys.
Yep.
Well, in our town, everybody has a truck. So.
What's that?
And where we're from, everybody has a truck. So you wave at everybody at that point.
It's a two-finger wave.
Yep.
Yep. So true.
All right, one-finger wave, but shy away from those.
Man, thanks for coming on the podcast. Appreciate you being here. Pleasure to get to meet you.
Yes, it's nice to meet you, and I'll get out to Pathways one of these days. Like I said, I got some buddies out there. I need to get out there.
You get out to the implant symposium in a couple months.
Dustin's coming.
Oh,
yeah, it's our 25th class reunion, but we're having it's at the same time as the Pathway symposium.
Okay,
end of April.
Last weekend in April.
Okay, give me the dates.
Implants and Sarek.
Oh.
Oh.
There's going to be a bunch of Sarek users on there.
I was going to say that is, that and printing, I mean, that's all day. Yeah.
I think Sprint Ray will be there too. Yeah.
Tim Anderson's on the deal.
Oh,
he was there last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There'll be all the things. You can't miss it now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Dustin's already has to come anyway, so.
There you go. Now I can, I'm going to make him fly me out.
There you
go. Sweet. I don't even have to buy a ticket.
And Augie will bark at you the entire time again.
Sweet. I'm going to bring some treats. I'm gonna win Augie over. I'm not using my mouth, though. I can't go there.
That poor dog.
I know we lost him. I don't know.
I damn near killed him when I was trying to close that door.
Probably outside the door. I got to find him.
Very well. From VOD, last podcast of Voices of Dentistry 2022. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming. And we'll catch you on another episode.
See you later.
Cheers.
Cheers.
That concludes another episode of Dentists, Implants, and Worms. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for telling a friend and throwing 5 stars at us on iTunes. Catch you on another episode. And don't forget the fireball. Cheers.